Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of Revelation chapter 3, we were taught that the church at Sardis was a pragmatic church that did not preach repentance as part of salvation. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Pragmatism within the context of Christian ministry entails the implementation of any practice or program into ministry that appears to produce results, regardless of whether or not such practices or programs coincide with biblical principles of ministry. Pragmatism embraces the philosophy that the end justifies the means. Well, that's what communism does. Communism says the end justifies the means. And so there are churches that are banding holiness to get numbers, and they say, well, the end justifies the means. So as a result, those who espouse a pragmatic philosophy of ministry, they'll use methods and programs such as cooperative evangelism, worldly gimmicks, rock or contemporary Christian music, and such like in their churches and ministries, because such practices and programs appear to draw larger crowds to church and their so-called winning people to Christ. In other words, it seems like they have a name, that they are alive, that they livest. But God says, no, they're about dead. They're winning people, but they're winning them to a fleshly religion that uses the name of Jesus and his word, but it's not the holy Jesus of the Bible. They don't consider they have eliminated repentance. Soul winning alone, especially without repentance, is not biblical. It is not biblical fundamentalism that is well-pleasing to God. Pragmatism is the one word that best describes the church at Sardis. Now, unfortunately, many evangelical and even fundamental churches are trying their best to appeal to the unsaved and be a friend of the world more than being a friend of God by being true to his word and his righteousness. You see, my friend, pragmatism lacks the power of God because it simply does not trust in the power of God. It has no desire to walk in God's righteousness. God hates pragmatism. And that's why he removed the church at Sardis. He would have nothing to do with it. But notice the Bible says, thou namest that thou livest here in verse 1 of Revelation 3, and art dead. In the Greek, it would be, dead you are. That's a slap in the face of a church that thinks it's alive and happening. The world says, why, this church has prestige and success. Today, men believe a church is alive if it features entertaining messages, moving music, lively drama, and motivational speeches that carnal Christians and unsaved people can find enjoyable and helpful. They believe a church is dead if they do not leave a church feeling amused, entertained, or emotionally charged. I've shared with people how, as a child back in the 50s and early 60s, I could hear adults say, I don't feel like I've been to church, if they didn't step on my toes. And you know, that was an interesting statement. Today, they say, well, if I leave church, I don't feel good, then I think something's wrong with the church. Something's wrong with the preacher. He's too negative. He shouldn't say so much about sin. And you know, the preacher is really hurting things because of all the things that he's saying about sin. Well, my friend, that's the person, that's the individual that has a name that they're alive, but they're about dead. Church is not to make you feel good about the way you're living. Now, the preacher preaches on sin, and it hits you right between the eyes. There's an opportunity at an invitation time to go forward and get it right with God. And you see, getting that thing right with God allows you to walk away knowing that you're cleansed and you're forgiven and you're walking on the right road. That ought to make you feel good. But for me to pump you up with some empty psychology is really something that is criminal and filthy on the part of any preacher that would do so. Now, it's not unusual for us to have parents say, and I've experienced this in my church, and I know other pastors have as well, well, my children like going to another youth group. And you know, they like going even before they ever go. Now, how would they know that? Well, they see other kids, and they're cool, and a lot of other kids are going there. And it's a Christian group. So, they're invited to go to their good Christian group. But you find out there's no dress standard. They're using religious rock music. There is nothing addressed of repentance. The matters of separation and holiness are skipped over, so watered down that it is, again, a crime. They don't want to use the word sin too much. I recently heard, and I just heard it, so it's just hearsay, of a group that was meeting for alcoholics and drug addicts, and the pastor of the church, through his instructional training, I guess was told, these people carry a heavy burden, so don't preach on sin. Don't preach so much on sin. It's all right to mention it from time to time, but boy, you start hitting sin, these people are going to go right back into their lifestyle. Well, my friend, we are calling them to separation. We're calling them to righteousness. We're calling them to Christ. And Christ, He is the victory that overcometh the world. What happens today is that you have parents that say, well, as long as they want to go to church, then I think it's great. And it speaks well of our teenagers. And so I'm just happy if they're going to church. Sometimes you'll find a teenager that starts finding fault with their own youth director. Well, watch out. He's down on the standards. He doesn't want to live by those standards. He wants to go where there's no standards, what it comes down to. You're saying, well, it speaks well of the teen. No. It may say some volumes about the teen's spiritual life that aren't good, just like God says, here's a church that has a name that it's alive, but is dead. Sure, they want to go to those things. No, they don't want to go soul winning or learn the Word of God and of righteousness and separation and holiness and those things. They don't. That's why you are the parent, and you're to see to it that they are faithful in a fundamental Bible-believing church and youth group. When you give in, that is a gross lack of parental leadership and responsibility on your part. Now, God will forgive you, and you can change that around. But my friend, get out of that sinful condition. And parents, you need strength. And you need to seek God for strength to lead your teenagers and children away from that itching ears religion, such as Sardis. Sardis was reportedly a Christian church, not a heathen religion. But the results were about as devastating. Now, Jesus Christ, our Lord here, in our passage before us here in Revelation 3, is defining a dead church for us. And he defines it, I believe, as follows. A dead church is one that is comfortable with the world. And, of course, I get the world from the reputation. They're applauded by the world, and they're steeped in the ways of the world. Now, let me say that again. A dead church is one that is comfortable with the world, applauded by the world, and steeped in the ways of the world. They have a good reputation with the world. The world is not out to hate them. They love the world. However, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So, what is an alive church to Jesus Christ our Lord? It's interesting that we know that, and we should know that, because basically, he's the one that's going to judge us. He's the one before whom we will stand one day. So we need to learn what is a good church as far as God is concerned. An alive church is one that faithfully preaches the Word of God as it is to men as they are, glorifying the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, speaking the truth in love, as Ephesians 4:15 tells us, and doing it so through a non-worldly music that appeals to the spirit instead of the flesh. We're reminded of Isaiah 55:8 and 9, where God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So a lot of times people come up and say, "You know, I know what the Bible says, but we live in a different age, and this is the way we need to do things now." No. My friend, put your trust totally, completely, and 100% in God and in His Word. This is the Itching Ears Church at Sardis as compared to the Sound Doctrine Church that we saw back in chapter 2 with both Ephesus and Smyrna. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the Lamp and Light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ. Christ Jesus.